So joining us now is Adam Morton. He's a research chair and professor of philosophy at the University of Alberta and the author of the book On Evil. He joins us from beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Professor Morton, thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, good to be with you.
So the reason we wanted to talk to you was I was thinking yesterday as we were watching the sentencing for Bernie Madoff, of course, someone who's been in the news and really globally the focus of a lot of attention as this case moves forward. And, of course, the judge had a real opportunity here to make a statement, not just on Madoff's Ponzi scheme, the largest in world history, but also the idea of destroying people's life savings and going so long without, going so long, it meant he knew what he was doing to these people. So the judge, in sentencing him to 150 years, also used an interesting term, calling him an extraordinary evil as he handed down the sentence. Do you think that that was appropriate in this case? And what precedent is there for judges to talk about evil when, in fact, their mission is more to mete out justice?
Well, judges often talk about evil, and sometimes, I guess, appropriately. And you can see, you can make a case for what the judge said in this case, because the guy did a lot of harm, and what he did was obviously very wrong. My view is that it's not the right word to use, and I guess there are numbers of reasons why. Evil is different from other kinds of wrong, and if you compare Madoff to sadists, torturers, terrorists in the real sense of the word, then I don't think it's that kind of motive. It's not that kind of wrongdoing. Though, you know, that's not to defend him. What he did was very, very wrong, and he deserved his punishment. But it's different from the core cases of evil.
I guess since 9/11, certainly, we've heard a lot about, you know, evil terrorists, axis of evil. Has the word evil been degraded or diluted in some way by a misuse or an ease of use by political figures, including judges?
Yeah, I think so, though I think that's implicit in the language. We always have used it very loosely, sometimes just to mean wrong, you know. I don't know. I was watching a movie last night. It was a movie with French soundtrack and English subtitles. And there's a word that I would translate as naughty, and the subtitle said evil. It's a funny coincidence. But you do meet that sort of thing all the time. But back to terrorists for a moment. I mean, the real sense of a terrorist is someone who, for political purposes, inflicts terror on people. Governments can do that, too. Perfectly respectable governments indulge in terrorism to that extent. And terrorism is evil because of what you're doing to the victims. You're making them terrified for its own sake. It's their terror that you're aiming at. Now, Madoff, wrong as it all was, he wasn't aiming to make his customers miserable and broke and desperate, though he did. That was kind of like collateral damage. It was something he probably sort of put to the back of his mind.
So does the fact that Bernard Madoff, the fact that he would have been happy if this thing had just kept going forever and ever and ever and no one had been hurt, does that get him off the hook, at least in the evil judgment?
I think it helps him on that dimension. I think he hoped for a miracle. I suspect that many financial figures often are in a situation a bit like the one he had first found himself in and just hang on for a bit, telling a few lies and hoping to pull out of it, and sometimes they do, except he got in deeper and deeper. I think motives matter for calling it evil. And if the motive isn't really focused on the suffering, death, humiliation of the victims, then it's kind of different. At any rate, we need.
Well, then let me take your point. Then is a fighter, a bomber pilot, dropping bombs on civilians from far, far up, 30,000 feet, who can't see the damage that he's done? Is that person evil or not?
I think it's a borderline case of evil. Imagine the commander who calls a strike. And he thinks, oh, you know, there's a sort of 50% chance there are Taliban there, and it turns out that the compound is full of children. I think that's borderline evil. And, you know, you ought to know this. And if one difference is that there's death, suffering, not just people getting broke. And you know that's what you're inflicting. It's a gray area. I think that's those are marginal cases. And what I want to say about Madoff is that it's not a core case. It's one of these sort of puzzling, slightly off on the edges case, which isn't to say it's at all on the edges with regard to wrongness. It's kind of definite about that.
Is there evil up in Canada?
Oh, the evil
Professor
everywhere.
Martin? Even in British Columbia?
I've lived in Quebec, yes, I can tell you.
Yes. There are awful people doing awful things everywhere. That's human universal. Do some societies produce it more than others? That's a very profound question. I'm not going to answer that on the spot on the radio.
Although I've been thinking as you were speaking. I mean, I'm wondering how borderline people would feel about the evil if they actually were the victims of a bombing.
Yes. And
it wouldn't feel so borderline to them.
They wouldn't at all, and they would be absolutely outraged. And they'd focus on the fact that does give it a qualification for being evil, namely, you know, there's physical harm, there's dismemberment, death, loss of loved ones, you know. So that's a sense in which it is. And a lot depends on your point
of
view.
Sure. Well, it all got us thinking from listening to the judge deliver the sentence to Bernie Madoff yesterday. 150 years in jail and a characterization that he is extraordinarily evil. Adam Morton, thanks so much for being with us. Research chair and professor of philosophy at the University of Alberta and the author of On Evil. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Good talking to you. Bye.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.